Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for being part of our day. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is out there on the Wild Wild Web at jbsba.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you like to type, there's a long one. But if you don't like to type, we have the short one, and that's jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Also, what you can do when you get to my website is you can find out more about Skip Miller. Skip has been a member of our Brain Trust now for a long time, something under 25 years that he's been with us. And he's the one of our top salesmanship experts in our Brain Trust. He's the author of Proactive Sales Management, Proactive Selling, and he's got a new book out. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Skipper, welcome back to the show.
Oh, it's always fun to be back, Jim. Thanks.
It's good to have you back, as always. And now tell us what the new book is.
The new book was written probably more out of frustration than anything else, where you go into sales organizations and talk to the sales VPs, the presidents of small businesses, and you know, it just people just don't want to prospect. So the new book's called Knock Your Socks Off Prospecting. That'll be out in July. And Ron Zemke, who's written numerous Knock Your Socks Off books.
Was a member of our Brain Trust.
Yeah. He had tons of good research on companies regarding best practices, customer service, and prospecting. And his perception was always customer service, and mine was always sales. So we combined and wrote a Knock Your Socks Off book. And unfortunately, the last one, he passed away during the writing of the book.
We lost him last August, and I still miss Ron. He was a great member of our Brain Trust. And you're so fortunate to have been able to collaborate with him on a work that like that, and he's just a great guy. So anyway, I'm glad you got to do that, and I'm glad that you're able to continue some of the things that he had to offer. And the new book is called what? Knock Your Socks Off Prospecting.
Yes, Knock Your Socks Off Prospecting is the last KYSO book, and since he passed away, I kind of made sure it was a real good one, being his last one. So it should be out in July or something like that.
Good for you. Well, all right. Well, we're looking forward to that, and we're sort of launching it, I guess, right now, aren't we?
I tell you what. I was at the bank yesterday, and I had to transfer some money, so I had to go see one of the bank agents. And there happened to be this lady there who travels between the branches, and she was going to do this for me. So she goes, oh, by the way, you know, I see that you're a small business. I said, yeah, I am. She goes, have you ever taken advantage of some of the services that the bank can offer your employees? I go, no, I'm really just transferring money here and stuff. She goes, well, let me explain to you what we do. So she gives me this 2 or 3 minute pitch and then goes, how about if I follow up with a phone call? I go, no, really, I'm not interested. I'm not really set up this way. Now, she could have gotten me more involved instead of just throwing up and showing up, right?
Right.
Spraying and praying and the whole thing. If she would have asked me questions.
Right.
She
didn't qualify you at all, did she?
No. So it gets better, Jim. So then she says, well, I don't have any cards with me, so let's go to the bank manager here and see if she has any cards.
Let me take you on another trip across the building to do something that you didn't come here to do.
And I'm trying to be polite, and she explains one more time why this would be of benefit to me. Tell, right? Instead of ask to get me involved. So finally I said, listen, it's not for me, the whole bit. So we go over to the manager, and she goes, can I borrow one of your cards? So she goes, you can call her, you know, to get to me if you want to. So she turns to the manager and goes, can I have one of your cards? We have someone here who's very interested in our
services.
Oh,
my goodness. Oh, no.
Jim, how many times do you think that goes on in the sales world?
A million times an hour.
How many times do you think the small business owner, you know, hears from a salesperson who says, you know, hey, we've got a real live one. We all got a good one. We're going to spend a lot of time.
Absolutely.
And the buyer, there's been no transfer of ownership. The salespeople feel good. They've sprayed out that initial 30-second speech. They've sprayed out that little pitch.
What is it? What did you say? Show up and throw up. What was it? Show
spray and pray.
No, the first one.
Show up, throw up.
Yeah, show up and throw up.
Yeah. Technicolor yawn. Yeah, we got names for this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens now is I'm sure the bank manager goes, oh, she's done a good job. She's got a couple live prospects today.
Right.
I mean, this is silly.
Well,
what really makes a qualified salesperson or a qualified sales situation, we find is in the initial minute or two, you've got to get the prospect involved. Let's not talk about knocking on doors and, you know, banging phones and getting return phone calls. We've spent numerous times on that. Once you get them on the line or once you meet them face-to-face, you've got to spend that first couple of minutes being an investigative reporter. I mean, you got to act like Columbo. Uh-huh. You got to get them involved and ask questions about them. What are they trying to do? What, you can't spray and pray anymore, man.
Stand by, Skip. We're going to take a quick break first. When we come back, we're going to get Skip to tell us. We're going to do a little role play and get him to tell us what that lady should have done, what kind of questions she should have asked him that probably would have gotten him involved. Folks, this is very important. This prospecting thing is very important to the future success of your business and mine. 22. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Skip Miller. We're back at 17-2. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Skip Miller's here, too, because he always has good things to talk to us about. We're talking about prospecting. And, you know, Skip, you were talking about this person, and it's not even important that it was a bank. It could have been any company that tried to tell you about all the cool things that they had to offer you and why you should be interested in them. This happens in every industry, in every company, all over the country, all over the world, all the time, because it's the way we think about our products, unfortunately. It's the way that we train our salespeople to think about our products, and we're so excited about what we have to sell that we think that therefore other people should be excited about it the same way we are, don't we?
Exactly right. And I'm sure that lady at the bank felt good because she was able to get her minute or two pitch out about her two or three brochures and explain in detail, not in detail, but explain nicely what she has to offer. But it was fun, Jim, as she was doing that, because I wasn't involved in the conversation, I was being talked to, not being talked with, I felt myself shutting down. I felt myself going, okay, enough. I mean, now I don't care about my employees and their benefits. It was kind of fun to just feel me shut down.
What should she have said to you to have made you become to go from being a suspect to a prospect?
The topic here was not the benefits that the bank offered. The topic was, what am I doing for my employees? What are some of the things that I've done? Do you think if you offered your employees some benefits like lower points on loans, interest-free checking, this, that, and the other, do you think that, you know, if you could offer your employees some benefits that they might find of benefit that would cost you nothing, do you think that'd be a value add for your business and employee satisfaction?
How about
That's
this?
The topic.
How about this? I see you're a small business owner, Mr. Miller. How would you like to know about some of the things that your employees can benefit from by being an employee of yours that you can bring to the table for them through bank services?
And no charge to you.
No charge. You can actually become a little bit of a hero to your employees, or at least they can see this extra value added. How would you like to add value to your relationship with your employees and let the bank do it for you?
We've done surveys of our small businesses, and we found that small business owners, get a lot of benefits in the banks, but the employees don't. So we've structured some stuff so that the whole company, the whole small business, can benefit and basically make you look like a hero and don't cost you a penny. Now you got my interest. What's it called again?
Absolutely.
Skip,
I've been thinking about how to get people to focus on the things that you're talking about, and the best way I've come up with to do it is to get them to don't focus on your customers, focus on your customers' customers.
Yeah.
In other words, if you're focusing on your customers, it's really easy to get self-involved with that process. You know, like the bank person did. But if she had said, okay, I need to not focus on this customer, I need to focus on his customers, which in this case were your employees. And then she could have said, "Okay, they're not even here, so I've got to talk about them in a different way." And that I think that sort of gets you more in a mindset of being more benefits oriented than features oriented. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you're sitting there going, my customer at that point was my employees.
Right.
And she needed to create some sort of interest. And you call it, you know, you focus it on the customers. I call it coming around the desk. If the salesperson could come around the desk and sit in the chair of the prospect, what would be on their mind? What are some of their thoughts? What are some of their questions? What are some of the things that they've got unanswered? What are some of their interest points?
Now, one of the things that you do all the time in your work with companies and in your writing and your speaking is you help people to accomplish this in real life, not just talk about it. And how would you if you were you've got my audience sitting at your knee now, we're all waiting to learn how to take this information and convert it into a practice that our people can keep and can use every day and that we can manage by. Tell us how to do that.
You got to really master qualification. And qualification is not, is this a good fit for our products and services? That comes second. In the first step of qualification, right, when you're prospecting in the first step, you've got to be an investigative reporter. You've got to sit back and say, if I was that company, what would be on my mind? What are the things I'm thinking of? What are some of the risks? And your good, experienced salespeople know industries, know customers, know their territory, and they know what's going on. Is the economy hot or soft? You know, if you're a toy manufacturer, right now it's March, April. You know, they're trying to figure out what's hot for the end of the year. What are the hot things that a senior executive or a prospect's going to be thinking about 6 months from now? You got to think in a time frame issue, and a time frame issue is 3 to 6 months out. What's going to be on my mind 3-6 months out? Because that's what prospects are thinking about, not what do I want to buy today.
Okay, so when the salesperson comes back, like this bank employee did, when they sort of come back from a call, or they come back from a day of activity, or at the end of the week, you're having them sort of, you know, collect up all the things that they've done and report to you, or on Monday morning, whatever, give you a prospect report and do a forecast, perhaps, of what kind of sales they're going to make. What kind of questions should we ask them to make sure that they've done a good job of qualifying?
There are two. One's called next step over time, and the next one is called implementation date, I-date. The I-date is not what date they say they're going to grant you the next meeting, what date they're going to grant you the contract or sign the purchase order. See, that's buyer speak. That's not the right side of the desk. I never care what day I pay for the vacation. I care on what day I'm going on the vacation.
Right.
So what date have they said they are actually going to implement your service or product? What date do they say they want it on their dock?
Which has nothing to do when you want to sell it or deliver it. It has everything to do with what's going on in their business. And we're going to get Skip to tell us some more about this right after these messages. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Skip Miller is our guest. He's the author of Proactive Selling and Proactive Sales Management. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great time with our good friend Skip Miller, the author of Proactive Sales Management and Proactive Selling. The new book's coming out that he co-wrote with our late friend Ron Zimke, Knock Your Socks Off Prospecting, which I can't wait to get in my hands, Skip. I'm looking forward to getting, I know I'm going to get the first copy, right?
Yeah, I will, Jim. I'll write that down. You will definitely.
Absolutely, and of course, we're kind of launching it on the show today, but we're absolutely going to launch it when it comes out later this year. I hope you remember that, Skip. I ask you. You said there were two things for us to ask our salespeople when they come back from prospecting from being out in the field, and an I date was one of them, and the second one was
next step over time.
Yeah,
many salespeople will sit back and say, "Well, I think this has been a really good meeting. I think a good next step should be this," and the buyer says, "Sure." But the problem is the salesperson's thinking this week and the buyer's thinking next year.
Right.
Always ask for a next step. When a salesman comes back to me and says, I've got a qualified prospect, I say, what's the I date? What date has the customer said? You know, and you know, it's probably the second or the third call, or a long first call. You got to get the buyer to transfer ownership to really start thinking about how they're going to use it before they come up with an I date.
Right.
But then I ask the salesperson, what is the next step? By when? You can't believe how many salespeople ask for a next step. You know, I think a good next step is we should have a presentation. Why don't I get back to you next week and we'll talk next week? No, no. Why don't I get back to you by Wednesday? You have to have a specific date because the buyer has to put it in their brain, in their calendar. Oh, okay, so it'll be that date. Without it, it's like next week, next year, I'll get to it, and you never do.
Have a good life.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. Skip, let me ask you a question. Has prospecting changed in the 21st century?
Well, yes and no. I mean, when you're prospecting, you're asking a buyer to do something they hate to do, right? You're asking people to change, and people hate to change. Additionally, salespeople hate the prospect. We call it the question, Jim. Every salesperson wakes up in the morning with the question. Should I prospect today or poke myself in the eye with a pencil? Which one's less painful? But prospecting has... So in that vein, no. Salespeople hate the prospect and buyers hate the change. But prospecting has changed because there's so many new tools available to you, be it the internet, be it faxes still, be it door-to-door knocking. I find the most effective thing right now for people to change, right, is to do it.
Right.
You'd be amazed at how many people just are so lackadaisical, or they come up with rationalizations. Well, like we used to do that. It's the ones who are out there going, I'm re-energized. And the way I tell people to do this, Jim, is dedicate 1 hour a day. We call it power hour, right? It's not hour of power. That's Robert Schuller. 1 hour a day, 5 hours a week, big whoop. But 1 hour a day makes a huge difference. And your small business owners can sit back and say, guys, have you done your power hour today? Have you done your power hour? You know, how many power hours do you get this week? It sets across that time management area where people have to spend some time on it. And you'd be amazed at what happens with 1 hour a day.
Skip, what is your website, please?
I'm sorry, m3learning.com.
They can find your books there, can't they?
Yeah, there or Amazon.
Amazon or anywhere else books are sold. Skip, one of the things that it seems to me that prospecting has changed, and it actually maybe, if we think about it the right way, it's actually made it better for prospecting, and that is the relationships that we have with our customers. I believe that small business owners should be more of a partner in the 21st century with our customers rather than just a vendor. And to me, that creates a different kind of prospecting environment. What do you think?
Without a doubt. It should create an environment where you can be able to go broad and deep because their prospects' solutions are being asked to go more broad and deep than just at a point, I want to buy a pair of shoes.
Well, you're not just a vendor. You're integrated. And so to me, I think you've got a right to say, you know, John, as you know, we're going to be helping you guys get this project out, and it would really help me to know when you think you're going to need this particular thing so we can get our supply line going, and so can you give me a date or whatever. So you're involved in their business, and you're involving them in your business.
I've got to work with a printing company this afternoon, and they think they sell printing, and I'm asking them questions. I'm asking them questions like, why don't you call the vice president of marketing up and ask them if they're going to print all this stuff for a direct mail piece? If you're a printer, don't you have some good ideas of what a direct mail piece should be? Why don't you go in there and help be a partner with them as opposed to just provide them printing?
Right.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Skip, give us your website one more time.
Sure, www.m3learning.com.
And I hope
the small business owners can just take away, one thing, and the one thing today is next week, this week, 1 hour a day prospecting, asking questions. They'll get better results, without a doubt.
Well done, Skip. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next time.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jim.
Thanks. Skip Miller, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.